I was blessed to have given to me this morning from Esther. And so this is an Esther joke. I'll tell you, this is the by far, what's that? Did you see the make it? Yeah, I make mine up, but this is by far the best joke on my list today. So I'm like, to use this one. Why don't skeletons do church music? You know, it's Halloween time, right? So we're at Halloween. What's Halloween? It's 3 days? Thursday? Couple days? So why don't skeletons do church music? They have no organs. I like that one, actually. That was good. I really enjoyed that one. That'll go on my list. So, because it was perfect for the jokes I had today. Where do mummies go on vacation? They go to the Dead Sea. Okay. Was Esther's better? Yes. What kind of horse does a mummy ride? A nightmare. That's a 5-star right there, Stan. Yep. And then, why do vampires have a hard time making friends? They're a real pain in the neck. Yeah, that's 2 stars. The Jewish people this past week just got done. Do you know what Sukkot is? Has anyone ever heard of Sukkot? It's the festival of the tabernacle or of the tabernacle, or what else do they call it? The booths. Festival of the booths. Did you ever hear that? Okay. If you've never heard it, then, you know, I was really looking into it last night, because we all know the festival of the tabernacles, but then, you know, as Christians, we pull from, right, the Torah, we pull from the Jewish traditions and the Jewish scripture, which is the Old Testament. And so many times as Christians in the New Testament, being saved as Gentiles and not, you know, grafted into the Jewish people is the Israelite community, right, through Jesus Christ. A lot of the times we don't go over those festivals. We don't go over some of the stuff. So after next week, we have a missionary, David Tinsel. He'll be here. Tinsel, I'm thinking trees on the, you know, Tinsel's on the tree. So if you call him next week, everyone call him David Tinsel. See what he says, right? But anyhow, maybe he has a sense of humor. I don't know, but we'll give him one. So the Sukkot is this festival. It's a 7-day festival that the Lord told the Israelite people to maintain this festival, this feast. It's a 7-day feast. Okay, so we have that, right? So it's a 7-day feast, but what it is the Jewish people then, it's 7 days, the first 2 days, it's all about them staying in their, a booth or a hut to symbolize and remember what God did for them when they escaped Israel and they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. And they lived in these huts. So it's a time for them to remember what God had done for them. And it's actually a very, you know, it's a very cool kind of process. And so these people actually sell these like pop-up huts for Jewish people to do it. And so, but for 7 days, they take some time off. They don't work on a couple days. But it's all about eating in this hut. And some people sleep in their hut, and the huts can be four walls or 3 walls, kind of like a run-in shed, you know, like a 3-walled type of thing. But the roof is supposed to have a roof that's like palm branches or some type of pine tree type, you know, like tree type of needles type of stuff, so you can look up into the sky and see the stars. But it's all in a remembrance of what God did for the Israelite people. With that being said, you start going through history and you look at some of the events revolving around Israel that has taken place around the Feast of the Tabernacle or Feast of the Booths. There's a lot of things that have taken place in history, and I wanted to kind of pull that out after starting probably in December, November. But some people believe, and I'm going to kind of let this out of the bag a little bit, but some people believe that Christ was actually born during the Feast of the Tabernacle, because in Scripture, so biblical scholars say, well, the shepherds wouldn't have been out in the wintertime in December, but they would have been out in the time of the Feast of the Tabernacle, which was fall. It's also looking at the harvest. So Christ, and they think that Christ was actually born then. You know, we celebrate on the 25th, but we don't know, people don't know the exact day Christ was born. So they think that that's when Christ was born, because there's a lot of other historical events that have taken place around Israel during that specific 7 days. And scholars actually think that the second coming of Christ will be within that 7 week, that 7 day time frame. Like, that's a thought. We don't know when God's going to say, because Christ even says, I don't know what my Father's time and hour is, right? But kind of everyone kind of looks and says, well, this could be. This could be. So after this week, they finished up the Feast of the Tabernacles, and then a lot of historical stuff happens. What's the first thing, the first time in history, in modern history at least, that Israel attacked militarily Iran? First time. It was like 2 days after the Feast of the Tabernacles. So we're continuing to watch what's going over on in the Middle East, because usually when stuff goes on in the Middle East, we're always watching, we're always thinking, well, what's the plan? What's God doing? So I'm going to open up in prayer, and let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel, also in Palestine, also in Iran. Like, there's Christian believers that are all from throughout the Arab nation, right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the Feast of the Tabernacle and the feast that you have told the Israeli people to maintain and to continue to remember what you have done for them. Lord, I also pray, and I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for what you have done in my life and within this church and people's lives here and within my family, Lord. I thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for, as Israel in the Middle East is going through all these trials and this war in Lebanon and Iran, and Lord, I just pray for our brothers and sisters that are caught up in these wars and these battles, and we ask for their safety, we ask for their protection, and Lord, we ask that other believers and Christians will come alongside other people and continue to make your salvation known, Lord. Help them to be strong. And we pray for those people. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so once again, we're kind of finishing up here with God's power. And it's a little bit different this morning. I kind of went off some different detail on where I wanted to go, and there's a specific reason why. But God's power of possible. What's possible with God? Mark 14:36. I wanted to look at this one phrase this morning, and I based this message on this phrase, which we have heard and you hear about it. You've read this verse many times, and when I read it this past week or a couple weeks ago, this is what kind of stuck out to me, and this is it. So Jesus, remember, was in the garden, and he was right before he was getting ready to be crucified, and he was praying to the Lord. And he says this in verse 36. I'm going to start in verse 35. Going a little further, he fell to the ground, and he prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass from him, right? Abba, Father, he said. He said, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. But that phrase right there, everything is possible. Sorry, my glasses are falling off my face. Everything is possible for you. Everything. Jesus now is talking. How many times when we read scripture, because these are the red words, right? So a lot of people read, well, the red words, we follow the red words, but Jesus is saying, and it's documented in scripture, because what we were talking about, we were looking at the power of God and what scripture says about the power of God, of who God is. And we get that information from scripture, and we see Jesus talking of his Father as everything is possible with you. Not some things are possible with you, or you can't create the world, because we talked about that, right? Everlasting to everlasting. We talked about God when he spoke the creation, it came from his voice, that everything is possible with you. There's a story in Mark, jumping over that we see Christ talking to his disciples and talking to people in this town. Mark chapter 9, where Christ casts out this demon. Chapter 9, 17 through 19. You can turn there, or you don't have to. We're going to run through it quick. A man in the crowd. So the disciples were with Christ, and there's this crowd. There's this gathering, and this guy comes up, and his son is demon possessed. And what we already know now, everything is possible with God. With God's power, everything is possible. In our life, do we believe it? In our life, we say we believe it, but do we really contemplate it, and do we really put that into our mind? Seriously, if you look at yourself, do we really live that way? That hit me this week. Do I really live that I believe through God everything is possible? Do I really believe that? Or do I say, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. Or I can't do this because I'm going to hurt somebody. Or I can't do that because someone's going to think I'm really weird. Or I can't do this. I can't. Or, yeah, I'm scared of doing that because, that's a big risk. Maybe a big financial risk. To give what's already God's, right? What I have, what we have is already God's, and we just manage what God gives us, right? So my question is, do we hold to that everything is possible with God? Mark 9, 17, a man in the crowd answered. He said, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, this is a demon, it throws him to the ground, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. The disciples couldn't drive out the spirit. Verse 19, O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. So you can picture that, right? You can picture this boy falling to the ground, having a seizure, foaming at the mouth, rolling in the dirt. It wasn't nice carpet, right? They were out in the dirt. And they're rolling around, and he was sweaty, and dust was sticking to him, and he's foaming all over the mouth. That's what's taking place. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into a fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. This is this guy's last resort, bringing it to Jesus. And Jesus said in verse 23, because this is what the guy said, going back to verse 22. It has often thrown him into a fire or water to try to kill him. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything. And then in verse 23, Jesus gives this question. If you can. Jesus is like, what do you mean if I can? Why? Because everything is possible with God. God's power is full of that. God is power, that possibility. So he says, if you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Then get this one, because this is where we need to think. Help me overcome my unbelief. So the man loved his child, like all father, with fathers should, right? And parents should love their children. Loved his child. And he said, help me. I believe it. I believe God's, you are powerful. I believe all power is in God. And I believe it, but help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome that. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And the spirit shirked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. And Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples, when Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive out this demon? Why couldn't we do it? And Jesus replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. God, full of power. Prayer. Our prayers to Christ that go to God, that's our avenue of power, right? Because all power is from God. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all that power, if you look at a distribution network, if you look at logistics, how does that take place? It comes down from God through prayer. To what? To a believing person. Not an unbelieving person, but a believing person. God's power is possible for a believing person. For someone that puts their faith and trust in knowing that God has the possibility to do exactly what he says he can do. Which God says what? God says, nothing is impossible for me. If you come before me and you ask and you're pleading and you're begging, many times we're like that. He didn't hear us. Well, he hears you, but it might not be his will, right? So we know that. It might not be God's will. We see when tragedy happens. We pray, but it's God's will. Everything is possible for those who believe. Now, when we're looking at the power of God, we know that everything is possible with the power of God. We know miracles is powerful, the power that God can control the spirit world. They can cast demons out of people. Jesus, we know has thrown demons into pigs, and we know the stories of all the miracles, all the things that have taken place. So many times we have unbelief in the power of our God, right? We have that. We know the power's there, but we forget to rely on that power. And so many times we don't go to God in prayer and rely on the prayer and his power. How else does that power benefit us? Not just miracles. How else does that benefit us? Jumping over to Romans real quick. Romans 1:16. Talking about the power of God. Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Once again, the power of the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. That was Romans 1:16, the power of the gospel for salvation. That's the power. So for us, the power of God, we know is everlasting to everlasting. We know that he, and what he speaks, the miracles that performed by his voice of the earth and world being created down to the deer that we all love and the turkey and, sorry, Bob, I saw you there and I had to bring up the deer. So everything that we all love in the creation that God has created, right? But also the salvation that we have, the salvation, the power that is possible through God for the power of salvation. This week, we were in the blending room this week, and our blender blew a blade. And actually, John, I thought about calling you. I don't know if you weld stainless steel, but I was like, oh man, I gotta find it. And we were like in the middle of this batch and it's just a problem. And so I'm like, who am I gonna find? So I ran up the road and unfortunately I found Sanford and Son. You remember Sanford and Son? Unfortunately, that's who I got this go around, but he did the job. But when he came the next day, I was sitting there waiting for him and the cord was too short. And then which now I know it maybe wasn't his fault, but then he had two welders that he said they worked at the shop. I brought them down here. They wouldn't work. Two of them. Two things going on. And I'm like, oh man, I'm just kind of, he's like, Jeff, after waiting 4 hours, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm kind of like, he's like, I need to come back tomorrow. I'm like, so he was there. And so meanwhile, so the problem, we couldn't finish doing what we do. Because then you have to weld, then you have to clean everything. That's a big process. I won't even go to the hours you spend cleaning up to sanitize and everything else. But anyhow, if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have had time to jump on my computer, Facebook, to realize I need, which you have a production floor and you got to keep it clean. There's, you're running eggnog and stuff. There's stuff sticky on the floor. You have sugar, you have eggs, you have milk, you have all this stuff sticking on the floor, right, Justin? It's all over the place. And so you try to contain it, but you still got to clean that floor. I'm like, you know what? I need a floor vac. And many of you know me. I'm like, I'm floor vac to run a floor vac to get a floor vac to, you know, they're a couple $1,000. So I always go on my favorite place, Facebook Marketplace. And I'm looking around. I'm like, and all of a sudden I see this pop up. I'm like, $200? I'm like, and it says like excellent condition. I'm like, come on. So I text the guy. I'm like, message him, however you do it. And so he's like, yeah, it's great shape. I said, can I come get it today? He's like, yeah, I'll be there at such and such a time. So we gave each other our numbers. And if I wouldn't have had that breakdown, I wouldn't have been able to go on Facebook, been able to set this up. So I get up to this place, and this isn't the vacuum. I'm just using it for. I'm just using this because Roger and Karen left it here this past week. So, no, I'm just kidding. So, I use this just display. So, ours is like a big sucking unit. But anyhow, so I went up to get a vacuum. I pull up and the guy's like, hey, he up with water. He said, it's a new cord. He said, Jeff, that's a $60 cord I put on there. And he showing me, I'm like, it was one of those things that you're like, that's a deal. So I'm like, I didn't even, $200, sure, I'll give you $250 for it, but he's only asking two, so I'm like, I'll give you a tip. So I didn't tell him $250. So anyhow, so I get the vacuum, right? So I went up and got the vacuum. And as I get the vacuum, this is what I went for. I went up for the sole purpose to get the vacuum. So, and this guy, he's 50 years old. As I look at the vacuum and we talk about it, he said, is there anything else you'd be interested in? He has a storage unit. Like, I guess he was selling stuff. And I went in and I'm like, so I bought this from a non-Christian guy, right? Non-Christian guy selling junk on Facebook. Which is good junk for me because it was a good $200 spent. So, and I used that vacuum and it worked pretty good. So, I got the vacuum from this non-Christian guy at the storage unit. And after he said that, he said, Jeff, is, anything else that you might be interested in inside? So I go in and I look around and I see this hammer. Yeah. That's a good hammer. I was like, he's like, hey, that is a great hammer. I said, how much you want? He said, give me $20. That's a good hammer for $20, right? I mean, that's a great hammer. So if you know hammers, it's a deal, another deal, right? So I got the hammer. Now, the interesting thing is I bought the vacuum from a non-Christian. I bought the hammer after the possibilities of the power of God from a Christian. As I talked to the guy and I bought the hammer or bought the vacuum and I saw the hammer, God, this is a God thing perfectly planned out with this guy that the harvest, he was ready to be pulled out of the ground. He was ripe as could be. When I looked at the hammer, there on his bench was a Bible. And I said, Josh, Josh, listen, I hope you're at church today, Josh, if you're listening. I said, did you read your Bible? He's like, no, someone gave that to me. He said, people tell me, he said, I should read it and I should go to church. He said, but I don't really know anything about it. And he says, but I know nothing should be on top of it. I said, then he quick moves it. And I said, Josh, Jeff, I was an alcoholic. He said, I still am an alcoholic and recovering. He said, once you're an alcoholic, I'm always an alcoholic. He said, my life has been through the turmoil. He's a mason. So he's in the contracting industry and does cement work and masonry. And he starts telling me his story. He starts telling me of his life. He starts telling me of the women that he's been with and the last people. And he's sitting there and he's nervous and he's not a chain smoker, but you could tell he was nervous and you could tell that he was searching. And I just said, Josh, I said, have you ever given your life to Jesus Christ? He's like, no, I never have. He said, people have told me about him. Didn't know much about him. So for the next hour and a half, I talked to him about the Lord. And he was kind of like, well, what do I do? I said, Josh, we can pray right now. Many times when I talk to people about the Lord, they're not ready to pray. Like, they don't want to pray. And you know what I'm saying? They're like, you talk to them about the Lord and they want to hear it and they kind of need some time. This guy had the time. This guy understood. He said, Jeff, the lady that just left my house, this girlfriend, when she was addicted to drugs and she would steal from me. And he said, luckily I didn't get back into all that type of stuff. He said, but she told me that she was demon possessed. And he said she was. He understood the spirit world because he said he saw things in that house and things fly across rooms. The room, and so he understood the spirit world and he understood the salvation that is possible through Jesus Christ. That's what he understood. He understood it. And he finally understood that. He said, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to trust Jesus Christ. So the possibilities of one man selling me this, all of a sudden the possibilities of salvation, which scripture talks about, right? That's why we're here. That's why we're on this planet. And that's what we're doing. And so we're doing God's job. And then all of a sudden, within an hour and a half, the power of God to take one man's sinful lifestyle to have it cleansed over like that. That's how quick it was cleansed, right? Once he gave himself to Christ, the power of that, of our God, which all things are possible through God, then I bought a hammer from a Christian dude was at the same place. So did I buy two different things from two different people? I guess maybe, but it was the same guy, right? A non-believer to a believer. By what? The power of God for salvation. So when we step back and look at the power of God and we talk about the power of God, I think about how many opportunities do we let go through our fingers? Because sometimes, many times, we get into a spot that we forget the what? The power of God. Because so many times we're the unbeliever. Like we're not believing like we should. We're not believing and trusting. So as I talked to him, and he put his faith and trust in Christ, and you get to these points. And so here's a 50-year-old man who's never prayed. And as I open up in prayer with him, he said, he looks at me. I don't know what to say. It's like, just like you're talking to me, Josh. I said, it's just like you're talking to me. And he opens up and he just stumbles through this prayer that was, I think that's the prayer that is so beautiful in heaven, right? This person who was a, didn't think I was going to get emotional, but this prayer from a person who realizes that they need Jesus Christ. Right? So I was blessed, not just because I got a good vacuum and I got a good hammer, but I got in the car. I'm like, Jen, you'll never get a call. I'm like, you'll never guess what just happened. Like, I wasn't planning on this. And I called Justin. He's like, what? What did you do? What happened? The power of God that we need to remember is for us. Because, yeah, we can talk about miracles and with people in churches, we talk about the gifts and all this stuff. What's our first love? This is our first love. It's coming back when we talk about the churches in Revelation. What's that first love, right? Our first love is this. The power of the gospel is salvation to all those who believe. All those who believe. Do we remember that? Are we stepping up to family members? I'm not saying preach at people. Like I told this guy, I was like, dude, you're looking at, he said, Jeff, I'm not good enough. And I said, me either, man. I was like, but you need Jesus. I need Jesus. I said, the fact of the matter is you could leave this storage unit today, get in your car and get hit out in that street and your decision time is done. There's no more deciding. You know? There's a new believer in heaven. And that happens across, there's people that are evangelists that are traveling this world, that are traveling all over, that aren't worried about, unfortunately, so many times, like what I worry about sometimes, right? Because I'm an entrepreneur and I think about business and I'm trying to make deals. And there's guys out there, there's women out there that are just 100% sold out evangelizing to people. Think about Billy Graham, who all the people that he has preached to and the people that have come to Christ. I just read an article this morning. 80% of those that are 16 through 30 have no desire, 80% no desire to have anything spiritual. It's all about me, all about my stuff, all about nothing spiritual. They have nothing to do with Christianity. 80% of those that are 16 through 30. Our job relies on God's power, you know, God's power of possibilities. The possibility that people, the salvation which when we close this out with the power of God, because we started in Ephesians where it says, put on the full armor of God, that mighty power, and that took us to what is God's power, which took us to look at the everlasting to everlasting, the creation of this is what I said, the power in his voice, and then the power of his presence and the power of his knowing. It all comes down to this, of the power of God for us as human beings for salvation is open to all mankind. All mankind, and we have to be ready and willing to speak that. Because we forget of those possibilities of that power that God has, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I pray for Josh. I hope he's in church somewhere. I know he said he might go. Lord, I pray for him. Lord, I pray for us. I pray for our hearts. I pray for us to remember to believe. I pray that we will pray that you will help us believe the way we need to believe, that we can be those people, good stewards, to step in to tell people of who you are, that we can be those people that are praying to you, Lord, for healing of other people and even casting out demons. Lord, we see it in Scripture, and so many times we think that doesn't happen today, but we know it does. You're a full God of power. Help us to understand and really like just take a hand on even just a piece of that power, or just a sliver of that power. Help us to live for you with that, Lord. Help us to change our mind to live that way. In your name we pray. Amen.